Hello, welcome to the show, brought to you by the YFC. My name is Everett, and I'm really excited, as I am almost every time we do an episode, to bring real, authentic youth and young adult voice from the YFC, or Youth Advocates for Change. For those of you that are new to the show and new to the YFC, the YFC is a group of youth and young adults from across the United States, talking and working around supporting parent centers. With the transition from high school to adult life for people with various types of disabilities. And the cool part about these podcasts is that we kind of really talk about things that are important to youth and families, but we really try to get the young adult perspective, the things that we're offering and the perspective that we're offering. So today I'm really excited to have two podcast veterans with me, and then somebody who is a newbie, right? Who's new to this today, and he's new to being a part of episodes, but I'm super excited. So, Holden, do you want to introduce yourself first? Tell us where you're from, why you love being a part of the work that we do, and what kind of groups are you a part of? Because today's episode is going to focus on kind of being involved with community groups. In where you live and what that's like as a person with a disability. So Holden, introduce yourself.
Sure. I'll take the cake for the first one, being the newbie, I understand. Yeah, I'm Holden. What I've learned from this group is that we just love telling everybody about everything that we've experienced, and it is just amazing to hear about everybody's experiences. And my train of thought left me for the
Where are you from, and then what do you do like with community groups or sports or clubs?
Okay, I am from North Dakota, and the groups and everything that I am a part of is high school bowling and high school trap shooting. That's what I do here in North Dakota.
So for those that don't know, Holden, what is trap shooting?
Trap shooting is a sort of like training for bird shooting. It's really
Okay.
hard to explain, but if you ever seen bird shooting and all of that, it's basically the same thing.
Okay. Thanks, Holden. Nice to see you. I'm glad to ask you some questions today and get you involved in the conversation tonight. Aaron, since you're next on my list or next on my screen, how are you from Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm Aaron. You've probably seen me a million times at this point. As I've said in the past, I mean, kind of like Holden said, I mean, the YAFC, I think like gives us such a great platform to connect with not only other people with disabilities, but also just like a wider view of what we're all working with as, you know, people in the United States and progress that needs to be made, and especially like some huge wins that, you know, we come across in our day-to-day life. So when it comes to being part of different groups that are outside of, you know, the disability world, a big one for me that kind of came out of this conversation was kind of like gaming. And like, I'm a big video game person. And what's, you know, kind of cool about that community is that I've been part of the competitive side of it, as well as just casual gaming as well. And then in the past, like when I was in colleges, I was in a lot of different groups for like different advocacy. So that's kind of my experience outside the disability realm.
Yeah, thanks. I think gaming is awesome. And it's one of the coolest parts or one of the coolest things that has kind of been brought to the forefront in the last like 10 to 15 years. Online gaming is like the one of the greatest things ever created. Like it is awesome. Jennifer, welcome back.
Yes, happy to be here. So the three groups that I've definitely been a part of sort of fall into three different categories, which is I've been part of more like tabletop gaming and like tabletop RPGs and those kind of stuff, like at local game stores, are things that I go to regularly or with friends. And the other sort of community groups that I have taken part of is I usually, as I'm Jewish, so I'll go to a pre-COVID mostly, not so much anymore, but I would go in person to a Shabbat services, religious service, every Friday night when I could. And also, I am engaged a lot in the queer community and queer community support groups, which I have done in three different states that I've lived in. So
awesome.
Those are all sort of three different angles.
Sure. So I guess my first question is, and Jennifer, I'll go to you since you waited the longest to do an intro. And being that I think you're the person that lives the furthest away from me in California, I'll ask you this question. Is what value has being a part of these groups brought to your life?
I think one of the biggest values that has from all three of these things has been a greater understanding of intersectionality. Like, I obviously am disabled and part of these groups, but I meet people whose perspectives who I would have never understood. And while I'm just like hanging out and having fun, right? Like, I don't go to play D&D or whatever, or you know, similar games so that I can learn about other people. But in doing so, I get to experience other people's experiences. When I go to synagogue or shul, I meet people that I wouldn't have met otherwise.
Right.
You know, and when I go to the queer community center, the same thing happens. And so it's sort of like doing something for myself in a place where I can just be myself and I learn about other people too.
Yeah, so you feel authentic in those spaces. You can be who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and you talked about the concept of intersectionality, which is that people naturally identify as multiple things or connect with multiple things. I'm just trying to explain the concept for people that might be new. And some of the episodes we're going to do with this one and other ones coming up is kind of talking about how disability intersects with all these different groups and experiences. And so being a part of different communities is just part of how things connect, or in this case, intersect, right? So you're talking about how you realize, like, disability is only a part of who you are, but you also meet all these people who are different too and have different lived experiences that make everybody different, right? Yeah. And you learn about that, but you can also be who you are in those spaces, right, Jennifer? I mean, that's what you're saying. It's like you learn about that concept that people aren't just one dimensional or one thing. Disability is a part of our lives. It's not all of it. And so, Holden, what has it been like for you as a person with like a sensory disability and being in these community groups? And what kind of value does that bring to you to be a part of bowling and trap shooting?
Well, for the community side to it, I'll actually use high school, how that's been going with the whole hearing loss and everything. A lot of my closer friends learned really quickly that if you're actually going to have a long conversation with me, don't look away and then all of a sudden look at something else. You need to keep eye contact with me. And then that also carried over to bowling, is I do a lot of competition bowling where everybody is on the lanes and then everybody's family is back behind them. So trying to talk to someone that's a foot away from you is almost impossible if you guys aren't yelling into each other's ears.
Right.
Well, my ears don't work very well. So my teammates and everybody that I bowl with on my actual high school team, we all learned that if we just basically read each other's lips, we're perfectly fine. I swear that there have been tournaments where I haven't even heard my teammates' voices the entire time until we were actually done. But we understood what everybody was saying because how good I
right. was. Sure.
That did you? What?
Holden, did you pick the sports you picked because they were more individual like that? Like, I know you're on teams, but like your performance is based on how well you do, not connecting with someone else all the time. Was that on purpose?
Yes and no, because the way I grew up with bowling, it was always you had a teammate and it was team focused. But now that I'm in high school, I learned how fun doing it yourself is, because there's only one person to blame if you do bad. That's yourself. And right. It's a lot. It's a completely different field of view when you're bowling with teammates and then by yourself. And I learned to enjoy by myself a whole lot more because I don't have to worry about what my teammate is saying to me.
Has being a part of a team made it easier for you to like be a part of the high school?
Yes and no, I would say, because bowling isn't recognized as a big high school sport as well as football is.
Right.
So when it comes to big accomplishments in football, everybody knows about it. But 3 weeks ago now, North Dakota, my team, my varsity team actually took first for the state. And then my JV team, my team, took third. And that never got announced.
No.
That never got announced to anybody. But, you know, I do got to admit, Minot's football team made it to the finals and won. And this was like the biggest accomplishment. Last time any of the Minot football teams have made it to finals, I think, was in the 90s.
Okay. So football was a big deal.
Yeah.
Football is like a big deal this year.
Yeah. It was understandable that I got overlooked.
But you still find community in being part of these teams. Like, you still like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Aaron, I mean, what does it mean? And as a, you're a wheelchair user, and I think people that have listened to this know that already. And I know what video games mean to me as a chair user. So I don't know, like, if you wanted to maybe explain the value of being a part of the gaming community or even being a part of other advocacy avenues like you've been a part of in other places too. Like, what has that been? What kind of value does that bring to you?
Yeah, and I think, like, if you want to bring in another, you know, intersect to this conversation as well, is if you want to throw out the weather conditions in Minnesota can be super unpredictable and basically unsafe to, like, go out and participate in a group in person. Like,
you
if
don't
want to
be here,
if there's wicked snow or ice conditions, like, you shouldn't be on the roads anyway. And so I think, like, you know, we saw that peak during COVID too, where it was unsafe for people to be among each other. And I think gaming in a virtual community can be a super accessible thing for people with disabilities. And so it's just another option for people to be part of a community that's not totally about all about disability. And I think that opens up a lot of doors because let's be honest, like, of course there's really great groups that are based in disability, but also that limits us. You know, there's plenty of things that all people with disabilities want to do. And if we're only limited to things that are made for people with disabilities, well, there's plenty of things that we won't get to do, that means, you know? So that's what's so great about, you know, gaming is that it's like, I can jump on and I can game and like, no one knows I'm technically different. And I think that that's, you know, a kind of a cool thing is that for a little bit, you can take a vacation in a way from your disability and then return and still do what you need to do. And I made a lot of really great friends too, who learn how I game because I use adaptive gaming and then they learn. So kind of like what Jennifer said, it's like in a way you can kind of introduce disability as part of that community. And it, in a way, gives an opportunity for everyone to learn and grow together.
I mean, Holden just talked about how his whole team reads lips because he was like, we can do this and it's more effective. Other people wouldn't even have thought to do that in a space like that. And it's funny too that this is not one of the things that I guess is on our rundown, but the idea that, because I kind of agree, you said that there are nice disability only groups that are nice, right? The YAFC, I guess, technically is one. And it's great, but there's like a limit to what that offers, right? Like, so there's value in being in your group of disabled peers, but then there's also value in finding spaces where you can belong outside of that. And I think so many families struggle with community involvement outside of like disabled only groups. Does that make sense? Like they feel like that's their home, or that's where things are most safe. And I think Jennifer talked about how you can find safe communities that are outside of that, that just kind of include disability in it. Go ahead, Jennifer, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, to exactly harp on that point, I was living in Utah as a fairly conservative state, as someone who is trans and disabled and Jewish. And by going to the trans center, I was able to connect with other disabled people. And by going to the Jewish community center, I was able to exist in a place where like neither of those things were necessarily the thing that people knew about me. And they became, those were important aspects of my identity in a time where I was like not in a great space. And so being able to be parts of those communities became very important. It became like a weekly reprieve, even though they weren't like the thing that was affecting me at the time, which was my disability.
Sure. Sure. And I guess, I mean, Holden kind of mentioned this a little bit about some of the challenges that happen when you're in a, when you're on a sports team and trying to communicate and trying to help people learn how to communicate with him. And that can be challenging, but Jennifer, you talked about the value of bringing disability into the conversation, but what has been challenging about doing that in the spaces that you've been, or do you try not to make that a big deal right away and find the right time? Like, what do you do
to overcome
perception?
I think it depends. I think because both of my jobs are so heavily involved in disability, like it is, and I am visibly trans, both of those things like are things that I become the go-to person in any room that I'm in. So it's not so much that like I can hide that, because the second I talk about work, people know,
right?
And I'm also like, it's pretty visible on me.
Sure.
But well, there is something about
do you sometimes hate being the go-to person?
Yes, but I also use it as an opportunity. There's a reason I'm an advocate at both my jobs. I have been the go-to person for so long that I see it as an opportunity more than anything else. Although it is, to be quite honest, it can also be a burden.
Sure.
But I've turned that into an opportunity more often than not.
Sure. And Aaron, to kind of like flip the script, you said that gaming allows you like some, I guess the word is anonymity, or like you get to, like you said, take a vacation from disability. Right.
Yeah.
But is there still not challenges about trying to interact and be in the community, or are you just like, this is kind of like my safe space and I don't really see challenges?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of challenges when it comes to, you know, gaming, and especially as someone who identifies as a woman, like the games you're playing, and if you speak in an online game, you are immediately shut down as someone who shouldn't be there. We'll say that. And so with that identifier out there, I'm already, you know, someone who's going to be looked at it in a certain way, but little do they know I'm working with, you know, adaptive controller. And so I think that that for me is something that, you know, takes primary, that excludes me in a way from the community. And I also have to like prove myself that I can like be better than most of the people I game with, you know, is that of, you know, being a woman. But then it's like, there's also immense challenges when it comes to accessible gaming. A good example is that the controller I use was specifically made for, you know, people with limited hand mobility. And ironically, it broke last night. And the problem with that is that I just can't go to Target and buy a new one because it was made specifically for me. So now I have no idea how I will game in the near future. And so, like, that is a huge challenge. So I'm almost instantly cut from accessing that community again. So it's stuff like that that makes it almost like a reality check, where it's like, don't get me wrong, I love being part of that community, but there's still so many challenges, but it can only go up, you know.
What, I'm trying to decide who I want to direct this question to, too, because I hear there are challenges. I hear that you all are doing things to, like, integrate yourself into the communities that you're in. You might understand where some of the barriers might be, some of the challenges that have come up. But in my experience, I kind of mentioned this already a little bit, that a lot of times families are afraid to have their child delve into community groups that are not disability focused. And I guess, and any of you can take this and you can fight over it. I usually wouldn't let you fight over it, but I'm just curious what you would say to, like, what would you say to parents who literally struggle with that whole thing, where it's like, I want my child to be involved in high school bowling. I want my child to be involved in gaming, but I'm afraid that people say inappropriate stuff, or they, whatever, it's too competitive, or I want my child to learn D&D, but I'm not sure somebody's going to be patient enough to teach me, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, what would you say to families that are literally afraid to kind of let their child experience this, like, outside of the disability bubble or outside of the family bubble? I don't know who wants to take it first. Like I said, I usually would let you fight, but I'll let you kind of fight maybe who wants to answer that. What advice would you have for parents?
I would actually say that fear is, silly is not the wrong word, but it is a misguided fear. Because I think when there is a community that is so strong, like a community of any sport or gaming, which is any community that is tight-knit, wants more people to engage with the thing that they love. It's a community because it's a bunch of people who love this thing. And if someone comes in and says, hey, I want to love this thing too, I might have this disability that gets in the way, but, like, I still want to love this thing. Like, they are going to do everything in their power. If it's a good community that you want to be a part of, they are going to do everything in their power to include you.
So what you're saying is that if somebody's mean in that community, find another one. Like, get out. Like, go find one that is more supportive.
Yeah.
Because if they really love it and they love what they're doing, then they're going to love what you're bringing to the table. Holden, let me ask the question this way, then I'll let Aaron maybe answer. Okay, let me ask the question this way, Holden. Was your family always okay with you trying trap shooting and bowling, or were they nervous in the beginning?
I would say trap shooting was a little bit more of a nervous thing, because we didn't know what the ear protection would look like, because we still have a lot of old equipment when it comes to shooting, because my dad shot a lot, but he has those old standard ear protection where it blocks out everything. But nowadays everything's more advanced, and we found this really great brand that designs these amazing ear protections, ear headphones, whatever you call it. And it would actually block gunshots, but nothing else. It was quick enough to be able to block all of the gunfire, but when that stopped, they would just kick right back on to working normally.
So you could engage in conversation.
Yeah.
You could be
like, I didn't even have ear protection on. It was, wow. It was so good. I still love using that brand.
But what advice might you have for families that are afraid to have their kid kind of get involved in team sports? Like, if they're afraid of it.
Yeah, I would probably steal a little bit from Jennifer as well. It really all depends on the group and what they will do for you. Because trap shooting, there is a kid that his left hand, she was left-handed, but his left hand got damaged while rock climbing, so he actually has to shoot with his pinky. And this big pro trap shooter got in contact with him, and he, because he shoots pinky as well, he actually got him a custom-built shotgun that works for his pinky, and told him, good luck, become the best and try to beat me. And
so it's exactly what Jennifer said, right? It's like,
yeah,
if the community loves you enough or they want you enough, they'll do what they can to support you.
Yeah.
Aaron, what would you say is an advice for parents that are like, and maybe as chair users, we experience this more, like apprehension around groups and like spaces. But I really liked what Holden and Jennifer both said, so I don't know what your perspective is.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a certain anecdote that comes to mind with this whole conversation. And I think like, if there's any advice that comes to mind for me, is that it's like, it's very limiting, like I said earlier. And I also think you just need to be open mind about like what your kids' passions are outside of just having a disability, because if that's the case, it's just limiting. You know what I mean? Right. And I just think back to when I was in middle school and I had just been discharged from rehab, and I was starting this new process with this disability as a power chair user, that everyone was saying, like, you need to be in power chair soccer. And I was like, I hate soccer. And I remember going to a practice and I was being forced into it, and I hated it, wanted nothing to do with it, because I have never been a sport person. I don't like sports. I don't like soccer. I don't like football. Not my thing, you know? And so I think there's like a certain label that's put on you when you have a disability. And like, I think certain disabilities get that label as well. So for example, then again, in college, I went to a school where the wheelchair rugby team was a really big thing. Once again, I hate sports. So then why was I put in this category where people were like continuously saying, well, because you have this disability, you need to be in sports. And it's like, no, I don't. I want to do other things. And so I think that that's a thing, is that it's like, you need to think about, if this isn't their personality, then they should be focused on finding their people. So that's kind of my point of view.
One, it's so funny that you say that, because I am one of those stereotypical people with disabilities who uses a chair, who's like, I love adaptive sports. And that was my community for the longest time when it came to like interacting with people with disabilities. But then I realized that community is not inclusive, right? It's like there's like this hierarchy of disability that exists in adaptive sports that does not exist in the world of disability, right? And then I realized, like, wow, that's a great community. It is its own thing. And there's this whole other part of like, we are all part of one larger disability community, and we almost like can exclude yourself that way. So, I mean, I can see value in adaptive sports, but I can also see, like, I love sports, so it made sense for me. But I've also met a lot of people like you who are like, I was told to come here once. I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even like sports, right? It's like they're trying to force that on you. But I think for families, it's about what I heard all of you say is giving people experiences, right? You can't be afraid of experiences. And the more experiences you can get, the more value you can get from your own community involvement. But you can also help the community understand disability in a way that's positive, right? Help people understand and adapt, because disability is just part of the human experience. You know, so, yeah. And disability is just part of one of the intersections of our lives. I know, Jennifer, like you check so many boxes in terms of like the communities that you do identify with, that I think it's it's really, really cool to hear your perspective in that sense of like, you love being a part of those spaces.
Yeah.
But I, to wrap up, let me ask you this though, like, not just what that's meant for you, but like, is there times that you lean on one more than the other? Or like, do you know what I mean? Like, is there times that you kind of like put one off to the side and say,
yeah,
do you know what I'm at? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah. I mean, there are times like, these are all communities that are aspects of my life. And there are times that I lean into one and there's times that I like lean into the other. And there's times that like, I have that one of these communities is supporting me a lot more than the other, or that I'm engaging in one a lot more for one reason or another. And there's a thousand different reasons that might be, right? I'm part of so many different communities and so many different like things that I love being a part of, but I'm not equally part of all of them at every given point in time. Part of what being part of all these communities has done for me is that I can drop in and out as I want, is I can choose, hey, right now, this is something that I'm really enjoying. I'm going to go spend time with this community. And then maybe, you know, in 6 months, I switch that up.
Because
it is the freedom to choose. Is that freedom is what's so important, to not be given one thing and be told that's your identity.
Well, and not to be super negative, Aaron, but I know you talked about this, like being a gamer with a disability, and then also being a female, right, identifying as female and being a gamer, is it like you don't really get to choose? You are like, does it feel like you want to be less of one than the other sometimes, depending? Or is it like,
I think
there
it's
one that you feel resonates with you more? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think like in a way gaming is like a vacation from your disability for a little bit, because you're just kind of controlling whatever you're doing, you know?
Right, right.
But it's just, you'll never be able to pull away that primary identifier of, you know, my voice as being, you know, what is considered feminine or higher pitched or whatever you want to call it. And so I think right away, it's like one of those things that it's like, why does there always have to be an identifier that puts you in some sort of category or assumption automatically, you know? And so that gets complicated, you know?
Especially, well, I think that just speaks to like, you want to find a place where you can belong, whether that's in a disability community or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you're going to gravitate to those communities that you feel most resonate with you. And I think this might be the best way to wrap up, and saying that thank you all for your time in terms of having this conversation. But I really do think it's about trying out different communities. Like, if you know you are something, or that you believe something, or that your values are a certain way, and you can find a supportive community, it can change your life in such a positive way. Aaron, I almost think you'd like start a GoFundMe to get you a new controller. I wish this podcast had that kind of power. Be like, let's get that bad boy rolling out. Let's get a new controller shipped to your house and designed. Anyway, but I just think that it is so important to find where you kind of like squeeze in. But then I do think there is some value in being a person with disability in that space, and being open about who you are and answering questions when you feel it's appropriate. But we talked about when it might not be the best time to do that too. But I feel like finding those spaces where you feel most welcome is going to be so key, because we all are saddled with identifiers at times, and how we can interact and make the best out of a situation is really, really key to learn, which I think is why being a part of different communities and getting different experiences makes so much sense. So thank you all for your time. Thank you all for listening. And if you want to find more of our episodes, you can find them at theraycenter.org on our podcast page. And we'll see you all next month. I think the topic is dating. I think. No, that's February, because it's Valentine's Day. So I think the next episode is going to be something around being a part of, and Jennifer sort of mentioned this, but being a part of religious communities. and what that's been like. So we'll talk about that a little bit too, because I feel like that's a little bit more nuanced than even what we talked about today. So
yeah, there's a lot more nuance to that.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So so tune in for that next month. Have a wonderful holiday season.